Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
108. As Laura said, sunny right now in the metro area, but storms may be coming tonight. If that happens, Paul Douglas will step in and give you excellent coverage. Speaking of excellent, this man is every single time he's with us, Dr. Michael Osterholm, an expert on what has happened to our country and the world regarding COVID. And Mike joins us weekly. He's with us right now on this Wednesday afternoon on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. I'm going to start with myself, sir, because I think a lot of people can identify with this. So I think I tested positive 3 weeks ago today, actually. And I struggled for about 4 or 5 days, tired, cough, headache. And then I slowly eased out of it. And then for about 4 or 5 days, Mike, I felt like I was the exact same, whatever I am normally. And then over the last 5, 6 days, at least, I've been battling fatigue. Not as bad as it was when I first tested positive, but definitely different than normal. How typical is this for folks who are getting COVID right now?
Well, actually, there's two separate parts to this question, which is a really important question, by the way. One is, how much is just the tail, you might say, of that original infection? And we have seen some individuals, particularly those who have had Paxlovid, the drug, which surely has by itself kept the people who are at highest risk from becoming seriously ill from becoming seriously ill. We've surely seen the data that way. But for some people, they actually get better on it. Then they have a period of several days after they stop taking the drug, feeling fine, and then they have a rebound. And then eventually they do come back and recover. Some people who don't take the drug have that same thing, but it's much more abbreviated. You know, they may feel better after a few days, and then by the 10th day, they're feeling rough again, but then better. The real challenge we have in this, I know, is you and I have talked about this, and, you know, I'm surely not giving you any advice on your own radio show, but it's the challenge about long COVID. And we will often see at 3 to 5 weeks after an initial infection, someone then developing this fatigue, brain fog, in some cases cardiac and lung involvement. And we don't really understand that well at all. The percentage of people who develop that, even with mild illness, tends to be anywhere from 5 to 30% of all cases. We do have data showing if you've previously been vaccinated, you have a much lower risk of developing long COVID, even if you do get infected. But so right now, I think, Chad, you're kind of on the bubble, in the sense that, you know, this is still likely the kind of end of your beginning, meaning that you're still in that phase of just having been infected. But the next few weeks will be very important is whether or not you go on to develop long COVID.
I did not take Paxlovid, but let's talk about the folks who are considering it. For the people who sadly test positive and meet the criteria, should they take Paxlovid, and why should they take it?
Well, first of all, they absolutely should take it. The data are clear and compelling that it substantially reduces the likelihood of severe illness, hospitalizations, or deaths. No question about those data. For some people who actually recover or appear to be recovering after having taken it, they may have a reoccurrence that will occur at, you know, 10 to 12 days out. but that there is no higher risk of having that kind of thing happen than if you were just infected to begin with. So absolutely, I would recommend it. I tell you right now, if I get infected, I know I'm going for it right away. And, you know, the idea is, you know, I'd much rather have a mild to moderately severe illness, but not have to end up in a hospital or, you know, be confronted with the possibility of dying. And the Paxlovid will have a big impact on that.
I want to ask you about what we're seeing with pediatric hepatitis. And I saw something from the World Health Organization on a possible tie with COVID. Take me through what you know about that and whether there is a link.
Well, you know, the challenge we have right now is, of course, COVID is prevalent out there. So anything that happens is going to be on the backdrop of COVID. You could argue if you got killed in a car, an automobile accident today, you know, it occurs in a world of COVID. Could there be a tie? And so we have to be very careful about that. But let me take a step back and say these kinds of events are not that unusual. In where we have a very rare health outcome that's very significant, likely tied to an infectious disease. In the case with the hepatitis, if there's an adenovirus, a different virus than COVID, adenovirus 41, that may be the one of very important causes of this. But if you look back in 2015-16, during that time period right up through 2020, we saw clusters in the even years, it was interesting, 16 and 18, of acute flaccid paralysis, basically polio-like symptoms that were occurring in kids. And it was tied to, again, a certain kind of virus, an enterovirus. And what was really very confusing about that is that many, many people likely were infected, but only very few actually have this kind of paralysis syndrome. We don't know why. And we still don't know why. And I think that's a huge challenge because people think we should be able to understand that. We do know that these people are more likely to be infected with this certain kind of enterovirus. But, you know, just to take a step back, as an infectious disease epidemiologist, it's probably somewhat surprising to most people. In the old days of paralytic polio with the polio virus, and of course, unfortunately, it's coming back now globally, but in cases here in the United States, only about one out of 200 kids would get infected with the polio virus, would then go on and develop paralysis. Why the other 199 didn't, we don't know why. We don't understand that. And so I think the same thing is happening here with the hepatitis. There surely is a viral link with adenovirus 41. Now, the question came up, could it have something to do with COVID too? And, you know, is it because you're co-infected with both? Well, you know, the data just don't support that at this point. One, if you look at, you know, some people say, well, mothers got vaccinated, you know, and when they were pregnant and that's what did it. Well, many of the kids who have hepatitis right now were born before the COVID pandemic ever began. Okay, so it can't be that. They themselves have not been infected. We don't have evidence that they were infected. So, you know, we need to keep our eyes wide open. Could there be a multifactorial impact of both the virus, the adenovirus, and COVID? Could be. But I think this is going to be much more akin to what we saw with the paralysis I talked about, where it was one virus. We just don't understand exactly why it did what it did.
Okay. The state of COVID in the state of Minnesota is?
Remarkable. I know more people now that are infected with COVID in the last 7 to 10 days than at any time since the pandemic began. This is a highly, highly transmissible virus. I just keep waking up every morning knowing that today could be my day, despite the fact I'm doing everything I possibly can, including, you know, wearing N95s, et cetera. But the good news is, and this is where we're trying to really, you know, nuance this, is that the number of people with severe illnesses, hospitalizations, and deaths is far, far below what we saw with Omicron and Delta. And so from that standpoint, that's a good news issue. Now, the challenge with all of this is that just as 6 months ago today, we could not have predicted Omicron was coming, was going to do what it was going to do. You and I have talked about this many times.
Yep.
You know, this is these 210-mile-an-hour curveballs. Well, so when you ask me what's going to happen 6 months from now, you know, I'm sitting here saying, how would I know? I mean, in the sense of just how things could change. So I think the good news in Minnesota right now, lots of transmission, but milder illnesses, less hospitalizations, many fewer deaths. But that could all change tomorrow with a new variant. You know, remember we named these after Greek letters.
Yep.
And right now, you know, we're sitting here with Omicron. Well, what's pi? What's sigma going to be? You know, what are the new variants that are going to come at us that could be more infectious and could actually evade the immune protection that we think is so important? We are beginning to see a new subvariant of Omicron, BA4 and BA5, show up in Minnesota, which in South Africa has led to an increased number of cases. And again, the good news, though, is that this even occurs in people who have previously been infected, but it's a milder illness. So more infections, milder illness. So I think there's everything in the right now, and say that's probably going to continue in Minnesota for a while. The challenge will be if a new variant emerges, then you and I could be having a whole new conversation all over again.
Reading a bunch of texts here. I'll finish with this one and let you go. This is from somebody who says, I'm a texter. Excuse me, I listen to the show all the time. I like to text. I'm a big backer of Dr. Osterholm. And says, I'm vaccinated. But for the folks who are not vaccinated and they won't change, should we be emphasizing, if they will not change, other ways where they can build up through nutrition and other supplements to try to lessen the power of COVID?
You know, I wish I were. I mean, I'd be the first one to go for them, okay? You know, I'd add it on to what I've already done. No, vaccination still remains the single most important thing you can do to limit your risk of having serious illness, hospitalizations, or deaths. Just that straightforward. If you aren't vaccinated and you do become infected, then I hope you avail yourselves to the antiviral drugs as quickly as possible. That may help. But we still have to understand that, you know, we're still seeing 340 deaths a day in this country, you know, over 2,100 a week. And the majority of people who are dying right now are people who are not vaccinated. And so I think that I just can't make that message any louder or more clear. You know, if you choose not to get vaccinated, obviously that's your decision at this point. But just know that you are putting yourself at high risk for serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths. And, you know, I see them every week. I see cases like this, people saying, look, I went for 2.5 years. I didn't get infected. And, you know, I did not get vaccinated, only to have them dead next week. That's the challenge we have. So I just keep coming back to the data. This isn't a political statement. This isn't, you know, a personal gotcha kind of statement. Just the data are the data. That's the best thing you can do to protect yourself from serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths, vaccine.
Always important information, Mike. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Mike Osterholm with us. Twins play at 2. We're going to get to playing politics 135. We're going to talk about the Twins and the move they made last night and whether it makes sense. We're the home of the Twins. WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.